5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
A charming smile, a magnetic personality, and a violent secret. For decades, his rage simmered beneath the surface until one day he was exposed for the monster he always had been, one of America's most prolific and renowned serial killers. This week's episode is Ted Bundy.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How often a week would you say you talk to strangers? Do you try to avoid it?
Well, I'm thinking, my first thought was, how often do I go through a drive-thru? Because that would be...
Wouldn't you say people in drive-thru become your friends pretty
quickly?
That's
true. Well, have you heard my stories of drive-thru? They become my enemies, usually. Probably during the week, I would say I talk to strangers 3 to 4 times.
I just try to avoid them.
Not a ton. I mean, but only because I have to.
True.
Well, yesterday we went to the zoo, and I spoke to several strangers there.
Did you? About what? Were they workers at the zoo?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just not even, you know, not like an employee of a Target or a drive-thru.
Oh, then never. Very, very rarely, unless they're doing me a service.
I've been accosted twice in the last few days by strangers. Once at Sam's, I was buying toilet paper. I'm very particular. I always buy Charmin Ultra Strong. This podcast is not brought to you by any
kind of
toilet paper.
Is that with the bears?
Yes, I only use Charmin Ultra Strong. And I was picking it up off the shelf at the Sam's, and the woman said, excuse me. And I turned and looked at her, and I had my AirPods in, and I took it out, and she said, I'm one of those douchebags that wears AirPods. And she said, the other brand is on sale. So I said, thank you. I'm very particular about what goes in and around my butthole, so I'm going to go ahead and get this one. But thank you for the
tip. Did you say butthole to her?
I did.
You did not?
No. I just said, thank you. I'm very particular. I'm going to get this one. And she said, all right then. That's fine. She was so mad at me.
Wow. She was personally affected by my
choice.
The fact that you wouldn't heed to her suggestion.
Yes. And then today I was trying to open a door after 6:30 p.m. Our office building closes. My coworker was trying to get in, and I was trying to kind of finagle the door and let her in. And a finance bro, who a lot of them work in our building, is like, door's locked. It's locked. Which I could tell because it wouldn't open.
Well, that's just mansplaining.
And then he goes, they locked the door after a certain period of time and you can't get in. You have to go to another door. It was just the most solid mansplaining. And I thought, I'm going to kill a person on an elevator.
Well, and then his body will be in there until they open the door.
We had to get in the elevator together. I thought,
I'm sure that someone yesterday at the zoo talked to me. A little child tried to grab my hand in line for the bathroom because she thought I was her mommy.
Oh, no.
And I said, I'm not your mommy.
That ever happened to you as a kid?
where
grab a hold of a grown up and you go,
yeah, I do remember accidentally grabbing the wrong hand a few times.
It's terrifying.
But I don't recall if anybody, certainly no one was like, excuse me, the giraffes are out right now, so why don't you take your ass over there and stop looking at the elephants?
You're like, I like the elephants.
Oh, the woman did accost me. I felt personally accosted at the giraffe section.
What happened?
Because you can buy lettuce and carrots to feed to the giraffes. Well, yesterday, the Dallas Zoo was...
And by yesterday, you mean Mother's Day, 2019.
Mother's Day, yes, was... A circus. No, okay. And not just because there were animals there. It was a legit.
There were clowns too, yes, and a woman on it. She got shot out of a cannon.
Tightrope.
Yeah,
walking across the whole park. It was just very, very crowded, and the giraffes weren't coming up to anybody at the area where you feed them because they were being fed too much.
Yeah,
and all the stuff people had bought had just been thrown into their area.
Oh.
They weren't paying attention to it. So, first of all, Ella started eating the carrots, and I was like, those probably aren't washed, but whatever. And then I tried to walk out of the little area with the lettuce, and the woman that sells the lettuce goes, ma'am, I was on my phone, so trying to post a fun story to Instagram, and I turn around, she goes, you can't take the lettuce with you.
Whose lettuce is it? It's mine. I bought it.
She goes, if the giraffe didn't eat it, you can either hand it back to me or throw it in their area with them.
What?
And so I went and threw it in their area.
Well, good. Yeah, don't give it to that bitch.
No, but I guess I don't want you feeding it to other animals, which makes sense. But
you know what? You just take that lettuce and shove it right in.
I should have just eaten it right in front of her. I mean, my daughter was eating the carrots, and I just want to be like, well, my baby's eating the carrots. I'm going to go grab those out of her cute, sweet hands and bring those back to you also.
Snatch them out of her hand. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. Give me that carrot. Oh, man. Well, I ask because, you know, sometimes a stranger may ask you for some help, and that could be very dangerous. And I would not recommend helping
anyone. I would not have been in this situation because I do not help people that ask me for things, especially if I was a woman by myself.
And then
if a man came and asked me to help him with something, I think I have a look about me that I don't even think Ted Bundy would have approached me. He'd have been like, that bitch is going to be a handful.
Nope.
I am not going down that road.
I had a pure, gentle, happy face when I moved to Chicago, and I'd sit on the bus with this just yokel, big-eyed grin on my face. And of course, people would walk up and be like, you want to see my dick? And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And so then I adopted this scowl that I sort of maintain to this day. And the scowl is very helpful at keeping people away. It's not even a resting bitchy face. It's like a resting, what did you say to me kind
of
face.
It's like, don't mess with me today.
Correct. People, you can see them on the street actively like turn away from you, and they're going to ask for donations for their charity. And they're like, we'd rather the charity go broke. Yeah. She's so mean. I'm a nice person, but I just like to look mean.
Everyone always said, or I have so many friends that when they were pregnant would say, oh, I was in the grocery store and this woman just came up and she just put her hand right on my belly.
Who does that?
And I always expected that to happen. Never once. And I halfway through, I was like, nobody wants to fuck with me.
It's my face. It's my face.
It's me. Everyone's like, oh, I hope her baby doesn't turn out the way she is. I was kind of like wanting it to happen so I could
wish a
motherfucker
would.
So I could be like, I wish somebody would come up and touch my stomach right now.
Some people have resting bitchy face. We have I wish a motherfucker would face. Like, come on over. You about to see what's going to happen to you. You about to see what's going to happen to you. So yeah, she.
So I would not help a stranger load a sailboat on. First of all, even if I thought
what's
he wasn't going to rape and kill me, I'd be like, do I look like I want to load a fucking sailboat onto your car right now? That sounds like a ton of work.
Thank you. Why would you ask me, too? That's how I know you're going to try to kill me. I have weak and feeble arms, and any stranger could see
There's
that.
There's a million strong-bodied men around here.
Yes, it's not me.
Go ask one of them. A sailboat? Do you know how heavy a sailboat is? It's a child's toy sailboat. I'm not lifting a sailboat onto the hood of a car.
Whose idea was this?
What a crazy thing to suggest.
Whose
but
idea?
But it worked. It was Ted Bundy's idea.
It was.
And unfortunately, it worked.
Yeah, it did.
I also, hot take, so many people think Ted Bundy was super hot.
Here's the thing. Had
fool ever heard of some wax?
Dude, he had one eyebrow.
He was like Frida Kahlo.
So many snaggle teeth.
That's what got him when in the first, end.
So I was just like, maybe Ted Bundy came about when there were no hot celebrities. There was Paul Newman. There was Robert Redford in the 70s. 1969, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid came out. It's basically like a pornographic film. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hot. They are hot in
yes,
that.
Very.
So this is not like we had a dearth of attractive men in the 70s.
No.
What is going on?
He didn't look like a typical serial killer. I will give... He did have crazy eyes.
He did.
But at first glance, you would not think
he looks
someone
like a basic
like
white bitch. Man.
He looks like a basic lawyer that would just be a douchebag.
Yeah, he did look like a douchebag.
But not someone that would take a hacksaw to a woman's head and then sleep with her corpse for weeks on end.
Yeah.
I didn't get that vibe.
Well,
he was a doozy.
I did say I texted you my hot take after I got about 3 hours into the audiobook. I just wrote, hot take, Ted Bundy is a shitbag.
Yeah.
You were like, yep.
Sure is. I think that is a popular opinion.
I just saw somebody posted on a Facebook group, a woman got the bite marks. Spoiler alert, he's a serial killer. He bit a lady in her butt cheek before killing her, and a woman got the imprint of the bite marks in the booty cheek. I have a tattoo on my butt cheek, and it's the Blues Brothers, because I have, you know, dignity and self-respect. Yeah. What did this person, why would you get a serial killer bite mark?
Honestly, that stuff skeezes me out so bad.
It's like we talked about buying murderabilia.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I think it's super insulting and disrespectful to the victims and their families. Someone was like, that was somebody's daughter, and you're going to get a tattoo of that?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
But if
it's you're listening, I stand by it. If you're that person, you're a listener, go fuck yourself.
And I think that the comment made while posting the picture was, wow, what is wrong with people? And everyone's like, no, that's disgusting. What's wrong with you? So I think it's a general consensus, but
I think most people think that's trashy.
Butt tattoos are hot, first of all, as one that has one.
I do not have a butt tattoo. What's have an arm tattoo and wrist tattoo.
I have a side tattoo and a butt tattoo. But I'd be open to, other parts, I guess.
Sometimes I think about getting another tattoo, and then I realize I don't really want the ones I have. So,
to be fair, I'm getting one laser
dot. So maybe, yeah. Well, this week we are talking about Ted Bundy. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
He was and still remains one of the most prolific serial killers the world has ever seen.
Yeah, when they said what body count was about 30, and he said add another digit to that.
Yeah, he's... There's really no telling how many women he's killed, but because there's so much to cover with him, we are going to break this up into at least 3 episodes.
Yeah, I think 3 is going to be the magic number. As we got into, we're going to do 2, and we thought, you know what, there's too much.
I mean, the murders alone are an entire episode.
Yeah, and I think we would do disservice to the victims to go, let's talk about this charming serial killer that everyone's obsessed with. Yada, yada, yada. He killed a bunch of people. Anyway, here's the trial. Yeah. You know, I think it's important to go into these women's lives and what they... And at no point, not that anyone ever is doing anything that would cause them to deserve being felt, but literally every one of them was either walking to or from home trying to help someone.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was just a predator. And I think it's important that we recognize the victims. So we'll give them kind of their whole...
So today's episode, we're going to focus on his childhood, his teenage years, and pretty much his life leading up to when the attacks began.
Yes.
So you'll get a little understanding into perhaps how a serial killer is made.
Did you know anything about Ted Bundy before we started?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you? I had no idea.
I didn't know as much as I do now.
Well, obviously, yeah. That's kind of every episode we have.
Right. There was a lot I didn't know, but... including kind of how he started out life.
Yeah. No, I didn't know any of this. And I knew that he had killed women, but I actually thought he ate people. I wasn't sure. I think I got him.
Dahmer eats people.
I think I got them mixed up. So
yeah, they're both, man, what a dinner party that would be.
For real. Two of them. We do not want to be invited to.
Hell no. Well, let's get into it. Eleanor Louise Cowell was a pious girl born in Philadelphia to a deeply religious family, who, at age 22, was surprised to learn she had become pregnant by a man she referred to only as a sailor. At the time of her pregnancy, abortion was illegal, performed only in back alleys with dangerous instruments. Left with few options, Eleanor left home at 7 months pregnant to go live at Elizabeth Lund Home for Unwed Mothers in Burlington, Vermont, known by judgmental locals as Lizzie Lund's Home for Naughty Ladies. When the home had been founded in the 1890s, it went by the moderately better name, the Home for Friendless Women.
Yes.
Wow.
There's,
yeah. Early 19... These are both pretty great.
Yeah, early 1946, not a great time for women. Much
the Home
less
for Friendless Women.
Friendless.
Well, I suppose you have... I mean, I think it should be the Home for... significant otherless women.
True. Partnerless women,
they,
maybe.
They probably had friends.
True.
I hope each, they did.
Hopefully
they had each other.
Just say each other. When they moved in, they made friends.
Yes.
The true gift was the friends they made along the way.
Oh, I hope so. On November 24th, 1946, Eleanor delivered her first son, Theodore Robert Cowell. Eleanor's parents were deeply religious and felt humiliated and shamed by their grandson being born out of wedlock. When Eleanor and the baby moved back to Philadelphia to live with her parents, the decision was made that Ted would be raised to believe that his grandparents were actually his parents and that his mother was really his sister.
That happened to Jack Nicholson, the famous
really?
Actor. Yes.
I did not know that.
Most of his life, he thought that his mom, the lady that was his mom, was actually his grandma. You know what I mean? Like, so he was born.
Was she really young when she had him?
Yeah, the lady that he thought was his sister was actually his mom, and the lady that he thought was his mom was actually
right.
his grandma.
Did not know that. I've heard of it happening.
Yeah. It was kind of a thing to do back then.
Yeah.
As opposed to give the baby away.
Yes. Or, yes. So she apparently wanted to give the baby up for adoption.
Yeah.
And her parents said, nope, you're keeping it, but this is what's going to happen because we will not be shamed by our community for your mistake.
Well, then as the kid got older, everybody kind of knew, right?
They actually, all of their close friends thought that I don't know if they believed it or not, but they presented that this is what was really happening. To this day, it is unknown who Ted Bundy's biological father was. Some have suspected that Eleanor's father, Samuel, an oppressive figure with violent tendencies, had been the one to impregnate his daughter, possibly making Eleanor both sister and mother to Ted. There's conflicting reports regarding how Ted felt about his grandparents. In some interviews, he spoke warmly of them, specifically his grandfather, who he claimed to have identified with and respected.
The Ann Rule book, which I read, is very heavy on the Ted. The Stranger Beside Me, very heavy on the Ted was obsessed with his grandma or grandpa situation.
Well,
she said that it was the only man that he thought was a manly man and took charge and was
the only father figure in his life. However, he has also claimed that Samuel Cowell was a tyrannical bully and a racist. He was known to beat his wife and the family dog, and those in the neighborhood remember him swinging stray cats around by their tails. One time, Louise's younger sister, Julia, fell victim to his violent outburst when her father threw her down a flight of stairs for oversleeping.
So he sounds kind of like a douchebag.
Yeah, and he's...
violent,
so Ted's
abusive.
Already growing up seeing a violent and abusive pattern, and this is how you treat women.
Yeah, violence against women
at a very
animals.
Young age. And animals, yes, which the serial killer pattern is starting off with animals and then you escalate. It was also reported that at times, Cal would speak aloud to unseen presences. He also flew into a violent rage when the question of Ted's paternity was raised.
Oof. So he's trying to keep the family secret
at
all costs.
I mean... there's a lot of speculation that he raped his daughter, and that's why they wanted to keep this all a secret and raise him the way he did. It would also explain why he got upset if anybody brought it up. And if this was his real father and there's something to be said for things being hereditary, then that could explain a lot of the tendencies Ted had as well.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Ted described his grandmother as a timid and obedient woman. She suffered from depression and received the now highly controversial electroconvulsive therapy. Towards the end of her life, she developed agoraphobia and rarely left the house.
Yes, this was unfortunately...
Sounds like a real bad role model situation.
Yeah, not a great place to grow up, No. It sounds like. Not a happy place.
A few years later, Eleanor and Ted moved to Tacoma, Washington to live with relatives. One day at a church social, Eleanor, who was now going by Louise, met a man named Johnny Bundy. The two courted by attending several other church social functions together, and on May 19th, 1951, were married.
Some of the Ann Rule speculated that as Ted was older and was able to interact with people in the neighborhood, there were whispers about maybe that really is the mom and that she was ashamed, and that's why she went and lived with relatives,
yes,
into Tacoma, because he started getting old enough that if kids would tease him about it, and then even if it wasn't speculative that maybe the dad did it, that he was a bastard.
Yes. Also, the family saw how abusive he was to Eleanor or Louise, and they wanted to get her out of there.
Yeah.
When Ted was just shy of 5 years old, he was officially adopted by Johnny, and his name was legally changed to Theodore Bundy. Eleanor and Johnny went on to have several children together, giving Ted two half-sisters and two half-brothers. By all accounts, the Bundys were a regular working-class family. Not like the Bundys on, what was it, TBS?
Married with Children.
Here's something fun.
Yeah.
When that show, man, when I was in my early 20s or something, I thought that show was so funny. And now I want to go back and slap myself for thinking that. It is the most sexist, stupid fucking show.
You don't think it was satirical, that it was commenting?
No, I thought it was legit sexist.
That it's not commenting on sexism?
I did not find it satirical. I found it legitimately sexist. Did you find it satirical?
I just didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, it's not funny.
I love Ed O'Neill on Modern Family.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's a great actor.
But at the time, his face bothered me. It was very rubbery, and I'm sure it was for comedic effect. But as a child, much like the Phil Collins Land of Illusion music video where they have rubber masks.
Oh, that video haunts my dreams.
Scares the shit out of
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I hate I felt that. Like, same with Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel.
Oh, also disturbing. Great song.
Very upsetting video.
Bucked up video. But I thought that Al Bundy's face was very upsetting.
It looks like he belongs in Madame Tussauds,
yes,
House of Wax.
And it's like Man Smells Fart would be the name under the plaque of him. Because yeah, he always sort of looked like he smelled a fart.
Well, that's probably was
like his, the bit.
Yeah, he was getting into character. Every day he just farted and smelled it and then went, I'm ready, roll. Ted's childhood friend, Sandy Holt, recalls the Bundys being loving and devoted parents who were very involved in their children's lives. They took the children to church every Sunday, enrolled them in Boy Scouts and Brownies, and sent them on church retreats.
So they were trying to give a, she was trying to give a normal semblance of a family.
I think they were pretty normal.
Yeah.
By all accounts. From a young age, Ted showed signs of brilliance. Disturbingly, he also showed an early interest in the macabre. Family stories have been told of Ted's odd behavior as a child. There were reported incidents of violence, animal mutilation, and incidents of sexual deviancy.
Yeah, apparently, according to his lawyer, John Henry Brown, he wrote a book called Defending the Devil, and he said that...
That's a good title.
It's a really good title. he said that basically Ted Bundy's violence started as a child, that Ted Bundy would buy mice at a local pet shop, build like a little corral and kind of put them in the woods, and then play God and kill some of them and let other ones go free. So and that's kind of what he later did with his victims.
Yeah, that is... It's part of the McDonald's triad.
Yeah.
any type of animal abuse or mutilation is indicative of someone possibly becoming a serial killer.
Yeah, and there's other reports that just said he mutilated cats and dogs too. That's the most.
And again,
specific.
If he sees his grandfather/father being abusive to animals, it doesn't occur to him this is wrong behavior.
True. It seems pretty normal.
Ted's aunt also recalled that when Ted was 3 years old, she laid down to take a nap with him. When she woke, she was shocked to see that Ted had removed all the knives from the kitchen and placed them in a circle around her body.
So a very early fascination with violence, it sounds like.
Here's my question. Where are you keeping your knives? A three-year-old
That's true.
Can get all these knives.
They're a very tall three-year-old or a very low
or
knife drawer.
Or they just didn't secure. Their kitchen wasn't baby-proof,
That's
if
true.
You will.
It sounds, maybe it was just out on the counter and he pushed a chair up and sort of, I don't know.
Before I had kids, I would look at this and think, oh my gosh, that is crazy. And it still is a little crazy. But also, toddlers are fucking weird and they get into weird stuff and they do stuff without even really knowing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I could see Ella just bringing me a knife from the kitchen and being like, hey, Mom, here you go. And not like knowing what she's even doing.
Yeah.
But he probably had ulterior motives.
Or I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he saw his grandpa wielding a knife or something. I don't
know. That's true. Well, too skinny for football, Ted set his focus on his academics. Those that knew him said he lacked in the friend-making department and was often bullied in middle school, especially for deciding to shower in a stall away from the other boys who loved to sneak up on Ted and pour cold water on him as he bathed privately. However, in the Netflix original, The Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes, Ted recalls an active and fun childhood filled with hunting frogs in the creeks with friends and running around with other neighborhood children.
I'm not here to defend Ted Bundy, but communal showers in a middle school setting is
it should be banned. And it makes me, again, I also not gonna defend him, but it does break my heart to think about a little boy
trying to hide
and getting bullied like that.
That's
when
so
you're
sad.
At your most vulnerable.
Yes.
That brings like a tear to my eye thinking
so
about
sad. I had weird titties
Very
in middle
sad.
School. I have good looking ones now, but back then they were still, I mean, you're still growing in.
Well, all middle school girls have weird titties.
I mean, I think so, but I felt my, everyone, you know, if it's you, it's worse, right? I felt it was worse and I just did not want to shower.
I never showered in a public bathroom. That wasn't even a thing.
Oh, we had to. I just would
For
use
what? The... After pee?
Yeah.
I always had sports the last thing of the day.
I had it first and I couldn't change
oh,
it.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Well, in middle school.
You should tell me you have PMS.
I'm sure we had pee, but I don't. We never showered.
Middle school, we showered. It was
and then
horrifying.
I played soccer and stuff in middle school, but it was always the last thing of the day.
Just go home.
Even if I'd gone back to class, I don't think I would have showered.
And if you didn't shower, they made fun of you. And back then, I didn't know about
the
magic.
So it was a lose-lose situation.
It was lose-lose. And if I didn't know about dry shampoo, so here I was.
They probably didn't even have it back then.
All right, I'm not that old.
Ted's childhood friend, Holt, paints a different picture and says that Ted was, quote, different, teased for having a speech impediment, and was unable to do the activities in Boy Scouts, like tie a knot or build a fire, that came easily to the other boys. So one thing in the Netflix show, the Ted Bundy tapes, the two biographers / interviewers that are interviewing him, they say to the camera, apart from him, how things that he would say painted a totally different picture than what he would tell other biographers. Almost like he just wanted kind of a celebrity like biopic of his life made with this thing instead of it
He's
being
painting scenes.
Yes. He wanted to be perceived as this normal kid that nothing in his childhood led to what he did later in life. It was just he had a friends, he had a good upbringing. So it's interesting the motivation behind that.
Of what is he trying to paint? What kind of picture is he trying
Does
to
he
paint?
Still want people to think just control? Like he has control over his story, or is he still legitimately embarrassed of things that happened and too prideful to even admit them while he's on death row?
Well, I think we'll get into it and kind of like the trigger point on him. And I think a lot of this can all, a lot of his actions and behaviors, especially the more violent ones later in his life, are traced back to this damaged and bruised male ego.
Yes, very much.
I think. So I think that's what it is. Later in life, if you have a chance to tell your story the way, and someone's sitting there with a tape recorder listening, you're going to tell whatever story you want to tell. Me personally, I'll tell you about how I had weird titties in middle school. Ted Bundy's going to tell you he was a cool guy.
He's going to say he had real good looking titties.
So good they peeked over the side with a bucket of cold water.
They just wanted to see him.
That's so sad.
It is sad. That's really sad.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Holt also remembers Ted having a temper and that he liked to scare people and build tiger traps in the woods.
What?
One day, a neighborhood girl fell victim to one of his traps, and upon falling into the hole filled with sharpened sticks, had the entire side of her leg sliced open.
Christy, can you explain to me what a tiger trap is?
Yes. Tiger trap is what you see in a cartoon,
yes,
where
a wacky guy cuts a hole in the ground
and then puts a bunch of sharpened sticks in the bottom and then covers it back up with debris so someone walking through will just fall in and become victim to their little trap.
Who would
or
do
or a tiger?
Yeah, well, he was if he was in Tacoma, Washington, looking for a tiger, he was barking up the wrong forest.
Yeah, I think he needed to go. I don't know.
Where do they have
east?
Tigers left? Yeah, I think Asia. They have tigers there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're endangered.
Yeah. But he also just wanted to test the waters of what can he get away with as far as these violent tendencies that he's already experiencing.
I think that element of surprise and the like, gotcha. He
How
liked
scary
that.
If you're just walking, if you're a little girl walking through the woods and you just fall into a hole, next thing you know, your leg is sliced apart.
And freak show Ted Bundy, lone showerer, standing above
it's
you.
It's just laughing at you.
Yeah.
Ted regularly missed out on typical teenage fun because he had to babysit his younger siblings. In later interviews, he recalled how he was antisocial and would wander the streets looking for discarded pornography and open windows where he could peer in at unsuspecting women. Ted was also known by juvenile authorities as a troublemaker, being picked up at least twice for auto theft and burglary.
What is going on with Tacoma, Washington, where people are hurtling pornography out of their windows?
Gotta say he didn't find much. Who just throws away a bunch of porno mags in their trash?
A perfectly good piece of
pornography.
You
put it under your mattress like a normal person.
Well, this one's done with. It's
yeah,
all stuck
you just
together.
Throw it in the trash.
And also, don't change in front of your windows.
Well, I'm not gonna blame those women.
That's true. You should be able to change wherever you want to change.
But shut your blinds.
For real, because Ted Bundy's leering in.
I am very paranoid about that kind of stuff.
As a person who walks down the street and loves looking in other people's windows, I always keep my windows
really?
Closed. Oh, I love when I'm walking my dogs. One time I was walking my dogs through, I used to live adjacent to a very fancy neighborhood.
Oh, that's fun.
And I would walk my dogs through it. And one night, no less than five houses were all watching The Simpsons. And I thought, you know what? The universal thing that brings us all together, rich, poor, whatever, wherever
you
you're from.
You should have had a watching party at someone's house. You should have gone up and knocked on one of their doors, said,
excuse
just
me.
Just so you know, your surrounding neighbors are all watching the same show.
You guys,
why don't y'all get together, have some laughs?
Yes.
Then you'll have some inside jokes to tell each other.
Nobody's writing on Nextdoor about that, about how they're watching The Simpsons.
They're just writing about how real racist stuff. If you're on my Nextdoor, it's all real racist stuff.
Or it's always like, I got some garbage. What do I do with it? You're like,
put it out by the curb, you idiot.
What do I do with this trash?
What do you think you do with it? Shove it up your ass. That's what you do with it. Well, there are again conflicting reports on Ted's behavior in high school. He has told some biographers and reporters that he was antisocial and awkward, while in other interviews, he claimed to be athletic and, quote, one of the boys.
Do you think this is just a Liz Lemon situation where he thought he was bullied and then really he was the bully, like where she thought everyone?
I was wondering, isn't it interesting how, I think we've talked about this before, you really don't know what your life was like, for example, in high school, unless you were to ask someone else, how was I perceived? How did you perceive me?
Totally different.
The way I think of my high school life may be totally different than how someone else viewed me through their eyes.
Somebody may have thought I was a cool kid, and I was not. I was a lame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they, you know, it may...
You never know what others think of you.
It's perspective. Absolutely. Yeah. And there were some people who I thought, oh my God, she's got it made. If only I could be like her, man, my problems would be far, far away. And it may have been... She may have felt the same way about me.
Yeah. You never know. You really don't.
We're all at home. We're all secretly just watching The Simpsons.
Yeah. That's why it's up to someone who's / stalker... Looking in people's windows.
I'm not a stalker. I was a purveyor of fine windows.
There's a person down the street from me that always has their blinds open, and I just want to go up and say,
shut your blinds. We can see you.
This is not...
If you're listening right now...
Shut your blinds,
you're cutting some broccoli up, getting ready for dinner. Take a look. Your blinds may be open, and who knows on the other side.
And when it's light in your house and it's dark outside...
That's the most dangerous
time. You can't see what's happening. Someone could be standing very close to your window.
Or far away in a jacket, but they can see real far.
Yeah. Everyone, close your blinds right now, even if it's daytime.
Just pause the show. We'll wait.
Go close your blinds.
Pause the show.
Well, fellow classmates at Woodrow Wilson High, we have one of these in Dallas, too.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him as handsome, well-known, popular, well-mannered, and well-dressed. He attended dances but was shy, almost introverted. He was also interested in politics. While there is no record of him running for student body council, in the Ted Bundy tapes, Ted claims he ran for student office. Again, probably didn't happen.
I bet not.
But in his story, he's going to say that it did.
It's funny that, like you said, perception and reality and what becomes true.
Also, at some point, the jig is up, my friend.
It's in the note. It's in the yearbook.
Who gives a shit? But also, you're in prison for these crimes.
You're about to be electrocuted.
Just fess up, dumb. Ted and his stepfather, Johnny, tried to get along. But Ted withdrew emotionally, and Johnny chalked it up to teenage emotions. True crime books would later speculate that Ted didn't respect his stepfather, a cook by trade, and considered him unintelligent and was ashamed by his working class status. Louise believed in Ted strongly and encouraged him to save up for college, believing he could make something of himself. Poor woman.
Yeah, and according to her, or according to reports, she really thought he was kind of the golden child.
Yeah,
he was smarter than everybody.
I mean, up until the day he was executed, she
was adamant
that he was innocent. Just couldn't bring her, and that's so sad.
It's her boy.
As a parent, you never want to think your kid is capable of something like this. So I can't begrudge her for that. Yeah. Well, from 1965 to 1966, Ted attended the University of Puget Sound, where Louise was also working as an administrative assistant. In 1966, Ted transferred to the University of Washington, where he majored in Chinese.
He believed that China was going to take over the world and that is going to be a major superpower, and that to succeed in business and life, you needed to know Chinese.
How'd that work out?
Well, not great for him. He ended up being a serial killer. Yeah.
Ted had yet to have any serious involvement with a woman. He was shy, embarrassed about his middle-class background, and believed he had nothing to offer a romantic partner.
Yeah, around this time he was about 20 years old and never had a girlfriend.
Which isn't crazy.
That's not crazy. I had my first boyfriend when I was 18.
I had my first, a middle school boyfriend. Can you even consider that a boyfriend?
I had a boyfriend in kindergarten.
Yeah, I had a boyfriend in kindergarten. We would hold hands while we laid on the mat and took naps. But I had a stupid boyfriend. He wasn't stupid. I say the whole concept was stupid in sixth grade. And I think in eighth grade too. And then probably my first boyfriend was in college. I mean, not in college, in high school. My junior and senior year, I had boyfriends.
Yeah.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, he's 20 years old at this time in college.
And has never had a romantic partner.
Yeah.
Until he meets a woman named Stephanie Brooks, known as Diane in the Ted Bundy tapes. She kind of has like four pseudonyms.
Yeah, and I think that originally, early on, when he was just about to get executed and had been convicted, people writing about her were trying to kind of protect her identity. And the Ted Bundy tapes sort of don't give a fuck and just show her yearbook picture. Yeah. And her name is Diane, whatever.
They do block out her last name, but it does say Diane.
Let's stick with Stephanie for this, just because, I mean, not that anyone's going to go Googling her, but if you watch the Ted Bundy tapes, it's the same lady.
Yeah. Well, she was a beautiful, elegant woman from a wealthy California family, and Ted believes she was far too good for him.
No, you told me don't believe that I should never believe someone's too good for
me. No, I don't. Anytime somebody says you're out of their league or they're out of your league, I don't buy that.
I don't think
there are leagues. And I also read something today that says the caliber of who you're dating is based on your self-esteem.
Well, I can attest to that. My current situations have improved dramatically.
Well, there you go. When you're feeling good about yourself, you attract people that
you look at and go, oh my God, have you fallen from a magazine? You're so hot.
Well, after pining after Stephanie for months, Ted finally befriended her over a shared interest in skiing and made his move. Stephanie reciprocated, and the two dated for a year until 1968, when Ted dropped out of college.
Ann Rule describes Ted as sort of following her around a little bit and trying to be her friend and not really. And then they would drive up to the ski lodge area together and just say, you know, I have my ski stuff. Are you going to drive up there? You want to ride together? And on the way, he would be very charming. And
That's how you do it.
You know what? He sort of weaseled his way in by charm.
Stephanie ended up dumping him for his lack of ambition, saying,
he just won't stand up for himself. He's lying about a lot of the little things.
Psychiatrist Dorothy Lewis later said that this incident would mark the pivotal time in Bundy's development as a psychopath. Ted's later victims were also said to resemble Stephanie, attractive college students with long, dark hair.
He sort of had a victim MO, victimology.
Devastated by the breakup, Ted traveled east, eventually enrolling in Temple University for one semester.
Which is in the Philadelphia area where his family is from.
While Louise never confirmed to Ted that she was his mother and not his older sister, sometimes he called her mother and other times Louise, he always had his suspicions. While in Pennsylvania, he ventured over to the county records office and found his birth certificate. His sister, Louise, was listed as his mother. His father was listed as a 30-year-old Navy veteran and businessman. Bundy would go on to develop a lifelong resistance towards his mother for never talking to him about his real father and for leaving him to discover his true parentage for himself. That's got to fuck you up.
I think so.
Your whole life's been a lie.
Well, yeah. And you sit here and think, well, you know, who knows who it was? And she said, well, it was just a sailor or whoever. Yeah, well, she told her parents it was just a sailor. She apparently knew his name, supposedly. I mean, there was a name written down, and Ann Rule puts the name in the
book.
Could
have been Dad.
Well, I mean, well, that's not who she wrote, but yeah.
Right, right. After a short stint in Temple, Ted moved back to Washington, and in October 1969, he met Elizabeth Klepfer at the Sandpiper Tavern in Seattle. Liz was a single mother of a 2-year-old daughter who had recently moved to Seattle after divorcing her husband, a convicted felon, and had taken a job as a secretary to support herself and her daughter. She came from a Mormon family and had a wealthy background.
This is if you watch the Zac Efron movie.
God, don't bother. It sucks butt. It's so dumb.
This is where it starts.
It's so cheesy.
You know,
I was watching it and it's not at all scary or graphic.
No.
At all.
That it basically
focuses on their relationship more than anything. It's just bad acting and poor writing.
I thought Lily Collins was pretty good. The one that...
Yeah, she was probably... She plays Liz.
Yeah, that plays Liz.
But the cast is wild. When it finally got to the trial, I went, Shelton?
I know, Shelton.
Shelton from Big Bang as the prosecutor.
And John Malkovich.
John Malkovich is the judge. That threw me for a loop.
He doesn't even sound like he's from Florida. And he keeps saying what I would imagine...
He was too affable and nice compared to the actual judge.
You know, a Florida judge may say, all right, partner, I need you to sit down. But it's John Malkovich who talks like this. And he's
all
like,
right, partner.
Partner, why don't you sit down? I was like, there's a robot judge. We didn't know in the 70s they had robot judge, but it's played by John Malkovich.
I love John Malkovich, though.
Hot take, hate John Malkovich.
Really?
I hate his face. I hate his voice. I hate his stupid acting. I hate that he leg wrestles. I hate every part of John Malkovich.
Him.
Well, all right.
What movie made you hate him?
Probably Con Air.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you seen Being John Malkovich?
Yeah, I hated it. I love John Cusack. Hate John Malkovich.
Man.
Going to see John Cusack this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
He's doing Say Anything at the Majestic Theater Q&A.
Nice.
But, yeah, I...
Are you going to ask him a question?
I'm going to go up and say, do you want to make out?
I hope they let you get that close. Well, you should say, do you remember me? I met you.
There's a Q&A.
Like 6 months ago.
Well, it was like 2 years ago.
When you met John Oh, I'm thinking of John Mayer.
John Mayer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
I meet a lot of Johns.
Oh, take the picture...
Sounded like a prostitute.
Take that picture of... sex worker.
That's true. I'm sorry.
Take the picture of you and John Cusack with you.
Okay.
And hold it up like he does the boombox and say anything. But also get your phone out, play In Your Eyes while this is happening.
He's going to love it.
And
I'm not going to get arrested at all.
I feel like this might go over well.
You think it's going to work?
I think he might chuckle. He might give
That's what you want. You want someone who you're trying to get in a romantic relationship to just laugh at you.
I think he might be like, huh.
She seems funny. Maybe okay. I want to date her.
Or he's like, my God, I've seen this fucking bit at every Q&A I've done.
Someone's always holding
security.
Something. They're always holding something over their heads.
But you should take that picture.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I should.
And get him to sign it.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll see if he will. But yeah, so if you're watching John Malkovich in this Zac Efron movie on Netflix, it is... largely focuses on the relationship of Liz Klepfer
and
Tim Bundy. And I think, having now read the Ann Rule book and watching the Ted Bundy tapes and reading all these articles, I feel like it unfairly paints him in a pretty good light.
Yes.
He was not. It makes him look like a very good boyfriend to Liz, and we'll kind of get into it. He was, as I said earlier, let's say it with me, you guys, a shitbag.
Yeah. Yeah. In her memoir, The Phantom Prince, My Life with Ted Bundy, Liz describes their meeting, saying,
"The chemistry between us was incredible. I was already planning the wedding and naming the kids. He was telling me that he missed having a kitchen because he loved to cook. Perfect. My prince."
I haven't read that memoir, but...
You can't. It's $500. It's out of print.
What?
She will. I thought I texted you a picture of it. I found it on Amazon. It's $500 because there was only one run of them. And after that, she didn't want any more attention and she had them stop printing it.
Interesting.
And then Netflix found it, got a hold... You know, they adapted the screenplay from this memoir, got her and her daughter's buy-in. They actually came and visited the set while they were making this movie. And they visited on a happy day. So they visited on the day. It's an early scene in the movie when they meet at the Sandpiper Tavern.
Interesting. I wonder if she'll have it re-released after agreeing to this. No.
She doesn't want to. Yeah, she doesn't want to do any press. She's changed her name. Her daughter's changed her name. So
smart.
People can't find
you
her.
You got to.
Yeah.
Well, Ted, Liz, and her daughter, known as Tina in the memoir and Molly in the Netflix film Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, would spend weekends going for walks down Main Street in the University District, feeding the ducks at a local park, and visiting the area's nearby lakes.
Can you repeat the name of that Netflix movie?
Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile.
Sounds like Dr. Phil named that. That's three of the... You said the same thing three times.
I realize...
Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile.
It's because the judge, when he's sentencing him,
says it.
Because I was... I thought, what a wordy, dumb name. And then when I heard...
It's a direct quote.
The judge sentenced him, I realized.
John
it's a direct...
It.
When John Malkovich, the wonderful John Malkovich, said it.
Trash.
On Saturday mornings, Ted would watch cartoons and make breakfast with the little girl while Liz slept in. There were birthday parties, camping outings, ski trips, and discussions of marriage. To Liz, life didn't get much better than this.
I mean, she broke up with her husband, who was a convicted felon, starts a new life and thinks, man, I don't know anybody. This is going to go so bad. And you meet a reasonably attractive man. He's no Zac Efron, but...
No.
You
You
mean a nice guy?
Did him a service by casting Zac Efron.
Nice guy. He's got a job. He's got one eyebrow, a car. Mm-hmm. And you think, man, he loves me. He loves hanging out with my kid. This cannot get any better.
That convicted felon later would look pretty damn good.
You know what?
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ted was now 24 years old and a student at the University of Seattle, where he studied abnormal psychology and was particularly interested in a study that examined psychological variables in jury decisions. He also began working at the university's crisis clinic on the Tuesday night late shift, where he earned $2 per hour and lived in a spare bedroom with the Rogers family, the owners of a large home near a campus. $2 per hour. My goodness, how times have changed.
Well, back then, that was a lot of money. The mm-hmm. Rogers family, it was an elderly lady and her husband was ill. And literally, Ted just drove around house to house, knocked on doors and said, hi, do you have a room for rent? And she said she was quite taken with him.
It was the 70s.
He was very friendly and he was gregarious and outgoing. She said, well, you know, my husband's kind of infirm and ill. And Ted said, if you let me live here, I'll help you with him. I'll help you with the yard work. And she said he was an incredibly gracious tenant. He was quiet, and that he really, aside from getting really shit hammered drunk at a work party and Ann Rule had to drive him home, other than that, he was actually like a really good tenant. And he was like, by all accounts, beloved by the woman that he lived with and her husband, because he was able to mow the lawn and trim the trees and stuff like that.
They weren't his type.
Correct.
So they were safe.
Correct.
It was at this crisis center that Ted met Ann Rule, who would go on to write The Stranger Beside Me, a Ted Bundy biography. Ann described Ted as one of her closest work friends and claimed he saved many lives while on the phone with those attempting suicides or overdoses.
She said they literally were trained that while someone was saying, oh, you know, I've taken so many pills or whatever, to talk to them on the phone and keep them on the phone while they traced the call and sent the cops, mm-hmm. and that he was really, really good at keeping people on the phone and keeping people from hanging up so that the cops could get there. And then they hear the cops break down the door and say, okay, we got him, and hang up the phone.
I mean, this is classic psychopath, sociopath behavior, where he's basically two different people.
Yeah.
You can be a really nice guy and have mm-hmm. friends and live a seemingly normal life, and then on the flip side have this other life that no one knows about.
Super violent.
I mean, those two things are not mutually exclusive.
It's compartmentalizing too.
Yeah, serial killers, almost all serial killers, have normal day lives.
True.
Normal day jobs.
BTK or whatever.
People don't. Dahmer. Yeah. Gacy.
Yeah.
They, and then when the shit hits the fan, everyone says, I never would have thought he could have done something like that.
Her husband was going through melanoma. He had really serious skin cancer, but they were having a very bad time in their marriage, and she was trying to leave him. And she said, I just don't see, she was talking to Ted this late night shift. She volunteered once per week, and she'd work like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and he worked every day like 9 p.m. to 9 a.m., something like that. So their shifts would cross about once a week, and she said she would find herself turning her chair towards him because he was so inviting and warm when he talked and real vulnerable and would listen. And she said, you know, I got these kids and I think I'm going to leave my husband, but he has this cancer. And Ted said, what good does it do him or you to stay in this marriage that's making neither of you happy? And shouldn't he be able to make the most of his time that he has left? And shouldn't you set him free and let him be happy? And she said she filed for divorce paperwork. She was going to already, but it kind of gave her a bump, his advice, and that her ex-husband ended up getting married to someone else and lived the last 4 or 5 years of his life pretty happy.
There you go.
So I mean, can you just imagine this?
Well,
person?
He also used this charm and his personality later to get his victims trust him.
It's like Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, can you imagine your coworker that you sat next to and you think, oh, I know him. I know Ted. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He helped me so much in my relationship advice and helped me with my kids. I mean, can you imagine?
No, it would be shocking and a therapy session all on its own.
I mean, it led Ann Rule to a lifelong fascination with him and to write this book, which is a phenomenal book.
Ted saved other lives, too. It was during this time that he saved a 2-year-old child from drowning at nearby Green Lake. He also stopped a purse snatcher, running down the thief and returning the purse to a grateful victim and policeman standing nearby.
If you were that child that got saved by Ted Bundy, please call the show. We don't have a phone number. But
yeah, email us.
DM us on Instagram.
But yeah, I mean, can you imagine? Again, you can do nice things and also do real shitty,
terrible
things.
I'm not saying it's forgivable, but what a weird paradox that you live in. It's not even survivor's guilt. It's like the opposite.
What, that he saved you?
That you're the person that he saved. Because what do they say if you go back in time? What was that on Avengers? He's like, we should just, you know, go kill Thanos and give the baby. Like, would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler or whatever? Like, well, could you go back in time and kill baby Ted Bundy and it would save all these people?
But then that little boy or girl, wouldn't have lived.
It's just a weird paradox of not even just being a person that had interacted with him and you survived, but it in fact, quite the opposite. It was a person that you interacted with and you're alive by virtue of your interaction.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
While Ted's relationship with Stephanie Brooks had ceased, he would write to her frequently, and Stephanie would still call Ted when she passed through Vancouver visiting family. Ted also told Anne about Stephanie, confessing that he was still in love with her, despite being in a relationship with Liz. He told Anne he applied to law schools anywhere he could be close to her, near her home in San Francisco, and that she was
the one woman, the only woman I ever loved. Yeah, even despite, and Anne said, you know, Liz loves you. You're every day you're with her. She's got your back. She is helping you apply to law school. She's supporting you. Like, what is wrong with you? And he just said, I don't know. I can't help it. I can't get over Stephanie. I can't stop thinking about her.
You want what you can't have.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was too. And you know, he would write to her a lot and she would infrequently write back and just kind of say, oh, it's good to hear from you. But she never really cut him off. But it wasn't that they had some long distance affair. It was very one-sided.
Right. In 1972, Liz became pregnant. But due to Ted and her tumultuous relationship, she made the decision to terminate the pregnancy. That same year, Ted enrolled at the University of Washington and graduated with a degree in psychology.
So he's kind of hopping around from school to school. He went Puget Sound, Washington, Temple, back to Washington, finally graduated with a psych degree. And his professor said, by all accounts, he was a very good student, especially in psychology. He did research with the professors, and I mean, they were just impressed.
Yeah. Ted was also working for the Crime Prevention Advisory Board and yearned to become its director. His position on this board was instrumental in getting a law passed that made hitchhiking in Washington State legal. He was also privy to statistics showing the least patrolled areas in the city.
And you see this with serial killers where they want some semblance of authority. Some, like the BTK killer was a control officer and he went around and patrolled as far as the code enforcement. And then Ted is a somewhat law enforcement adjacent job.
Well, he also has access to information that mm-hmm. lets him know, oh, where's a good place that I could target Hunting. Victims that isn't going to be patrolled by cops.
And also, what's a great way to pick up victims? Hitchhiking. More people are going to be doing it. They're not going to get in trouble.
That's so weird. You'd pass a law that makes it legal.
He was very insistent on that law.
I have never and will never hitchhike.
I would literally rather walk like 30 miles and hitchhike.
Unless it was a very dire situation. I can't ever see myself doing something like that.
I've seen too many made-for-TV movies.
Yeah, it's insane. You don't really see it. In the 70s, you saw it a lot.
It was a free-for-all.
But now, it's rare that you see someone standing on the side of the highway.
You know, I'll never ever hitchhike. The classic cautionary tale. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
You may be sitting, you're riding along, all of a sudden, tell him Large Marge sent you.
Large Marge gets you. Best character on that movie, though.
She's so good.
In January 1973, Ted resigned from the board, having not been made its director, and went to work for Kings County Law and Justice Planning, where he spearheaded a study on rape victims.
And Ann Rule had written, she was, while working at the crisis center and now divorced, single mom, she was trying to do freelance writing, and she had written a couple of articles for the local paper about certain rapes that had happened, and she bumped into Ted while not on one of their crisis shifts, and he said, oh, do you mind sending me the studies that you've done? Do you mind sending me the information? I'm doing some research for
it. Some little insider trading. And he also wrote a pamphlet on for women on ways to prevent being victims of rape.
Kill Ted Bundy.
that's one way. That was number one.
The man who handed you this pamphlet.
That was number one. Don't get in this man's car that just handed you this pamphlet. Ted had always shown an interest in politics, and upon graduating from the University of Washington, went to work for Governor Daniel J. Evans' reelection campaign. Liz encouraged Ted to apply to University of Utah School of Law, even though he had been previously rejected.
You know what his job was on the governor's campaign?
Writing speeches, right? Or editing speeches?
Recording opponent speeches for analysis.
Like game tape.
He would go around, follow the challenger with a tape recorder, and he would wear mustaches and wigs.
Oh.
And they said he got
fun.
He got a huge kick out of dressing up. He loved the secret, sneaky, surreptitious, and he would record the tapes and then he would bring them back to the governor, and the governor would go, good job, Ted. Yeah, we're going to get him.
Always seeking that approval.
Yeah, approval of a male influence, and then also just doing something like the tiger traps in the woods. Just going, getting him. I got a speech. And he would notice, oh, well, if he's talking to the farmers out in the rural parts of Washington, he's going to use this kind of phraseology. And he was talking about the college kids and Seattle, he's going to use this kind of and like kind of analyzing it and thinking that he was getting like the secret
the scoop. Inside scoop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Liz's father was a prominent doctor in Utah, and several of her siblings were professionals in the state. Ted resolved to get in, redid his application packet, and included a 6-page personal statement on his interests in the law and the psychology of juries, a resume which slightly overinflated some of his accomplishments, letters of recommendation from several of his professors, and a special letter of recommendation from Governor Evans.
Yeah, he basically overdid it. He got rejected from U of Utah, and then Liz said, I bet you could get in now that we're dating.
It's not a great law school.
I mean, it's not a top, it's no SMU. As a graduate of the Harvard of the South, let me tell you.
Is folks, that what they call
that's
SMU?
What I call SMU.
Okay.
Oh, Harvard of the South. Well, and none of these things were required nor technically allowed by the law school application. They did not require any of these things.
They didn't need all. They were like, this is too much. This is frivolous.
They're like, this fucking guy. Just let him in. Jesus Christ. But Ann Rule in her book reads from his letter of recommendation from his professors, and you would think that he was, I mean, just a genius.
Just top of his class.
Oh, my gosh. It just says the world of psychological research is being harmed by him leaving because he is such a presence.
That is a big jerk-off letter. Ted was accepted to both the University of Utah School of Law and the University of Puget Sound Law School. He started out at UPS and then transferred to the University of Utah School of Law. He attended classes at night, but found his experience disappointing as the university was not as glamorous as he would have liked. He was going to night classes in just a regular-looking classroom, and he wanted law school to be, you know, hard grain wood and leather seats and
should have gone to the Harvard of the South.
You got to go to the Harvard of the South for that kind of stuff. In the summer of 1973, while he was in California on business for the Republican Party, Ted met up with Stephanie and they rekindled their relationship. Stephanie was impressed by his apparent transformation from a college dropout with no direction into a professional with a budding legal and political career. She brought him home to meet her family and was smitten with how much attention he lavished on her. Meanwhile, Liz was back home with her daughter, wondering when Ted would return.
That's fucked up. He's like gallivanting. She's thinking he's off.
It's not uncommon.
Well, I mean, she's thinking he's off at law school.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually, or off supporting the Republican Party.
I think he's doing both. I mean, this is a Republican for you. Can't wait to get messages about that.
Not all Republicans cheat on their spouses. No, that's just true. A majority of the senators.
Ted was now dating both Liz and Stephanie, although neither woman was aware of the other's existence. Ted and Stephanie began to get serious, even discussing marriage. Ted would often introduce her as his fiance. Stephanie found herself excited to marry him, but then, without warning, he disappeared entirely.
You're describing my worst nightmare.
Just being ghosted?
Yes.
In 1974, Ted abruptly broke off all contact with Stephanie, refusing to return phone calls or letters. A month later, she finally reached him by phone and demanded to know why he had broken things off with no explanation. In a calm, flat voice, Ted replied,
"Stephanie, I have no idea what you mean."
She never heard from him again.
She said he hung up the phone after he said that, too.
What else are you going to say after that?
After he's gaslighting
you?
Yeah.
Ted later claimed,
"I just wanted to prove to myself that I could have married her."
But Stephanie believed that Ted had deliberately planned the entire courtship and rejection in advance as vengeance for breaking up with him years earlier. She even suspected his accomplishments, graduating from college, jobs, and application to law school, were all ploys to prove to her that he was worthy of her.
Yeah, so she told a friend of hers that she said, "I think it was all just
a long con."
It was a long con. And Ann Rule calls it his
dedication.
Yeah, she says it's his 5-year revenge plan.
That's some dedication right there.
Seriously.
They say hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
It sounds like Ted Bundy was...
It's really hell hath no fury like Ted Bundy scorned.
Sounds like it. 5 years.
Not long after, Ted began skipping his law school classes, and by April of 1974, he had stopped attending entirely. Coincidentally, this was the same time young, attractive women began disappearing in the Pacific Northwest.
Ooh.
Dot, dot, dot.
Shh. To be continued.
So what do we think?
I stand by my statement. He's a shitbag. We'll get into kind of how, in addition to the fact that he was a murderer, he was sort of an unpleasant person. He was unpleasant to Liz.
Yes.
He was generally unpleasant to his classmates. And I think that the Zac Efron...
He was very arrogant.
Correct.
And cocky.
And the Zac Efron movie, I think, makes him seem like a nice, charming guy, which I'm sure he kind of was, but also he was a dick.
It makes it seem like that to Liz. I do think he comes across as very arrogant and cocky once he gets in the courtroom.
Yes. And
like a lawyer.
Well,
am I right?
Do you know what's worse and more annoying than a lawyer? As far
Ted
as
Ted Bundy is a
arrogance
lawyer?
Arrogance and cockiness? A law student.
Yeah.
Because you have just enough information to know, to think you know a lot. And
to
then
think
once,
you, yeah.
Once you graduate and you take the bar, you go, "Oh shit, I don't know anything." And it sort of gives you a little
humbles
bit of
you a bit.
Reality check. Yeah. But when you're in law school, you just think, "Oh, you want to know about torts."
Yeah, who doesn't? Well, everybody's
Nobody.
Just always walking around thinking, if I only had someone that could just come up to me and explain torts to me.
You know who can explain torts? Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer.
And Ted Bundy, probably.
Probably. But yeah, what do you think?
Well, I mean, he's obviously a shitbag. It is interesting to me how even after he's in prison, he's still rewriting his story.
Yeah.
That's very fascinating to me. And I think he is... definitely a sociopath and a psychopath. In later episodes, we'll kind of get into where all that came from. I don't think he was born this way.
No.
I don't think anyone's really born this way. But some things that happened in his childhood and later on he kind of paved his own way. It's like all of these things can happen to somebody and you don't choose to murder and rape women.
True. I think he had a lack of... identity growing up because they changed his name.
Yeah.
He didn't know his real mom. He didn't know his real dad. He gets taken away from his grandparents and he's thrust into some guy he doesn't really fit in with. He does, you know, Johnny Bundy didn't really like him. Then all of a sudden he's a big brother. He didn't want to be that. So he was kind of a little bit forced to do a bunch of stuff he didn't want to do. And I think that when he finally meets Stephanie Diane, the girl that, you know, the girl of his dreams, he thinks, oh, finally, I have a place. I'm going to do this. And she basically said, looks at him, knows him, because he said they dated. They would spend a lot of time together, go driving around and go on these, you know, long road trips. And she finally knew truly who he was and said, you know, you're kind of a loser.
After she got to know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a harsh.
Yeah. He had never really been accepted. He never really fit in. And he always was self-conscious about the way he was brought up, the fact that his parents didn't have money.
His weird middle school titties.
His, that was you.
Well.
His childhood friend said in their neighborhood, while all the kids were friends, there was a clear division of the haves and have-nots.
Oh, yeah.
And his family was in the have-not category.
Oh, yeah, his dad was a line cook.
You had know? A respectable job, but he was always embarrassed by that. He had some cousins that were wealthy, and he always envied them and wished that his father could have the same type of wealth that his uncle did. So, and that's interesting too, that he sought out these women that had came mm-hmm. from wealthy families.
Yeah.
Again, kind of just wanting to rewrite his own story and fake it till you make it.
Become
part of something that he wasn't ever included in.
Christy, we have some exciting news today we need to share. Our merch shop is open.
It
if you
is.
Head to sinisterhood.com, you'll see a link up in the top corner that says shop. And you too can get your wonderful Keep It Creepy Devil Rules the Airwave shirt and a Sinisterhood Lucky 13 shirt.
There
y'all know that's our favorite
onesies.
Number. Baby onesies. Someone
You're welcome.
Asked. I'm so sorry to report. Someone asked if we had the onesies in adult sizes. We don't.
I've had several people ask that. I believe they're called bodysuits.
I don't think we have
My a- question is, why do you want to wear one?
Who doesn't want a shirt that snaps in the crotch?
You know, those were a thing back in the 80s, and I had many of them.
They have them in American Apparel.
They're still a thing, yes.
You know how I know I shouldn't wear one? Because they sell them in American Apparel. I'm not that cool.
No.
But yeah, if you head to sinisterhood.com, click on shop in the top right corner, it'll take you to all the cool mugs, canvas, totes, hats.
There's all sorts of stuff.
Beanies, whatnot. So yeah, so let us know what you think. Send us a selfie, hashtag
yes,
Sinisterhood merch,
do.
And show us what you're wearing.
Can't wait to see everyone in these t-shirts.
Please.
Well, many of you have asked if we have a Patreon where you can donate to the show. We do. Our show will always remain free, but if you wish to donate to help offset the cost of making and hosting the show, you can visit www.patreon.com/sinisterhood. You can get some sweet perks like Patreon exclusive content, a Sinisterhood sticker, membership to our exclusive Patreon Facebook group, a special shout out on the show, and a monthly bonus minisode.
So head on over and check out some of our cool video content we work really hard to bring you.
And you can stick around after our sign-off to hear our Patreon shout-outs.
Yes, please. Well, the best thing you can do to help us grow is like, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for everybody that's done that so far. It really helps a small podcast like us get lots of exposure, and it's going to help us stay at the Adolphus Hotel soon. So you're going to see what comes of that. So head to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and give us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod, or like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at?
I am on Twitter at Christy or GTFO, and on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace. Heather, what about you?
At Heather VS the World on Instagram and at MCK vs the World on Twitter.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Hey guys, thank you so much for subscribing to be loyal patrons. We appreciate you so much. Specifically, Jennifer Enochson.
Amanda.
Rachel Rose. That's a fun name.
Kelly Cohen.
I'm going to say Warner. It could also be Werner.
I know. It's Werner Padilla. Who
you know this person?
Yes.
Oh.
We work together at Sea Dog. Shout out Werner. Love you.
Oh, nice.
You. Thank you, Frenchie. Thank you so much.
Allie.
Summer Lee Riley.
Also a very pretty name.
All of your names are pretty and all of you are pretty, and we love you so much because we really appreciate all of the support. I will be sending out your Patreon stickers on the 15th as usual, and Christy and I are going to draw some little pictures on the back, so please enjoy.
Keep it creepy.
Bye.
Sinister.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Are you a fraud-paying American?
One in four taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.